Well, you can you can turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3. We'll continue as we have been this Christmas season, working our way through the book of Ruth. It's a relatively short little book of the Old Testament, just four chapters long. One of those books of the Bible that can be easy to miss as you're flipping through the pages. But don't let its length fool you, for what the treasures of riches that are buried therein contain. It is a book that is just jam-packed with evidences of God's goodness, of His faithfulness, of His unique ability to work goodness and blessing out of terrible situations. It's a character study of God, that He is a redeemer, that He is a God whose banner over our lives is one of redeeming love. In fact, that's what we've called the series as we've been working through the book of Ruth, redeeming love, because that is what we see again and again, even when God is, as He so often is in the book of Ruth, behind the scenes, He's still working. He doesn't appear at times to be out front and center stage with the spotlights. Nevertheless, He is there and He is working and He is bringing about goodness and blessing out of tragedy. He is bringing peace out of strife. He is bringing love and redemption to a people who so desperately need it. So we'll be in chapter 3 today. The Lord has promised to be near us. He has. I love that verse in we just sang Away in a Manger. And the third verse, you might not realize it was a later addition. John McFarland was the lyric writer who at the beginning of the 20th century added that final verse there. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask Thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with Thee there. He has promised both to be near us and to fit us for heaven. You think about a verse like Matthew 28:20, last verse in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I will be with you to the very end. Think of a verse like Hebrews 13. You know, in borrowing from the book of Joshua, the writer there applies directly to Christ that promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Your life will take many twists and turns. You will have moments of triumph. You will have moments of failure. But through every day, I will not forsake you. I will be with, I promise, to be near you and to fit you for heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We look at our lives, and if we're honest, if we honestly assess ourselves, we think, I would not fit in a place where there is total righteousness and peace and joy and comfort all the time. I don't seem fit for that place at all. But He has promised, Philippians 1:6, what God has started in you, He will be faithful to complete it. He will finish the work He has started in you. Some days you feel like, man, you're killing it. You are doing awesome at this life and being like Christ. And you just, and other days, I can't be the only one to feel. I feel like a colossal failure today. But God is faithful. Our hope is not, and this is the most glorious thing I will say this morning, I promise you. Our hope does not rest on anything that we can do. Our hope, our peace, the confidence with which we can look toward the future is entirely based upon Christ's righteousness, His perfection and sufficiency, that He is who He is. That is why we have hope. And along the way, He is fitting us for heaven. By one degree of glory to the next, we are being transformed into His likeness. And the way that He does that, the way that He changes us, the way that He sanctifies us and makes us more like Him is through His nearness to us, that He draws us to Himself, that our proximity to Him is what contains the power that changes our lives, that changes who we are. So yes, we pray with the psalm writer, be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay. I know that you will. Your word has promised. Nevertheless, I pray it, and that you would fit me for heaven, that you would make me, essentially, make me more like you, God. That is our prayer. And so we draw near to Him today as we look into His word. So we'll draw near here in Ruth chapter 3. We'll look for Him and we'll behold Him and we'll be changed by Him. And Lord, that is my prayer, that you would be at work in the preaching of your word and help me to preach it honestly and faithfully and powerfully, that your people would be built up, that they would be encouraged in a world that just beats them down constantly. May we find here, over these next few minutes, strength and power. That is what we need, and nothing less. We need you, God. We need the power that you provide. So would you give that to us now, Lord, that we may glorify you with transformed lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read Ruth chapter 3, and then we'll sort of break down the story a little bit from there. So it says in verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and